Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, third hour on this Tuesday. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney Show. Will we crown a World Series champ tonight? The Dodgers trying to pop it. First time since 88. And we'll get back to that. Obviously, the Rays are not going to go quietly. That is for sure. They have been pesky as hell. And they are going to put up their dukes and scrap tonight with their race on the hill. One of the races, Blake Snell's got the ball. And probably get a lot of bullpenning from the Dodgers. We'll see. Tim Tebow was great. A lot of different discussions there. So we're rolling on here. Going to get to the Pat situation as Tiki and I continue the third hour inside of our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So we got a lot to unpack here with Cam Newton. You know, without burying the lead, he's not playing well at all. He's taken a dramatic, precipitous turn in terms of explosive plays and certainly proving viable early to looking quite possibly like the worst quarterback in the NFL this past week. He was that bad.
Yeah.
Let's play some. Jeff Garcia waded into the waters. There's a lot of sound I want to rifle in here because Garcia, who was, by the way, a pretty good quarterback in a couple of different places, as we know, San Francisco, Philly, not too bad with the Browns either. Anyway, Garcia is a guy who doesn't emerge too often in terms of national quotes, but he was very bothered by Cam's attire, and he let it flow on NBC Sports Bay Area. Here's the way Jeff on Cam Newton's dress.
You go into this game, two touchdowns, four interceptions. You throw, what, three more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half. There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door. This just goes back to a couple years of just watching this guy and seeing him at the podium, but yet what he's doing on the field does not translate to being that guy.
You know the funny thing about this, again, that was NBC Sports Bay Area. This is stuff that you and I have waded into before the season and before he decided to, like when he first signed with the Pats, we're like, and even when we were speculating what might be a good fit for Cam, you and I always surmised, well, you know, if he comes in as the backup, you know, you might want to walk in the door a little more quietly. And then when we found out that it was the Patriots, we're like, well, Belichick, not that he's not going to tolerate and tell you what to wear, but, you know, anything that kind of brings unnecessary attention, for lack of a better description, is not something the Patriots really do. Funny, that's – so I get what he's saying, but the timing, like, I don't care about it now because I don't think Belichick cares about it. Garcia just sounded like he's got a personal gripe with
Cam. Like he was out of touch, and it was kind of moronic how he said it. And again, you're right, BT. If he'd said it at the beginning of the season, it's one thing. But he started the season great for the New England Patriots. And to say it now just feels like piling on because you can. And, you know, Cam Newton, I got to tell you, he's felt really mature with his successes and his failures in New England, and he responded to Jeff Garcia.
I know I come off to so many different people so many different ways, and that's fine. And he's you know what? He's exactly right. But I'm not changing the way I dress.
He's exactly right. I'm not changing the way I dress.
But I don't even like the fact that he says he's exactly right. I want to see a more combative Cam right
now.
No,
Cam's not combative. That's just not him, man. It's not his personality. You know this. You met him in person.
No, he's been combative up there. Not true. Well, he's changed. He has changed.
He has changed.
He was combative at one point.
I think he's changed significantly. He's definitely, and this is why I said that. He's mature. Like in the answers that he's been given all season long, there's a maturity that you feel. And maybe it took having, you know, your season / existence in Carolina be, you know, challenged and ended in a very humbling way, to make that maturity happen. And was he 30 last year or 29 last year? But you hear it in how he talks. Like there's an introspection with which he speaks now, and I kind of appreciate that, because obviously he's an all time great. Now what Jeff Garcia is discounting,
he's not an all time great. Teak.
I didn't say he was an all time great.
Oh, I'm sorry. What
Jeff Garcia is discounting is that Cam Newton won an MVP. You know what I mean? So Cam Newton has a swag about him that comes from a lot of different things. He also went on to say, and I don't think we have this sound, but he comes from a certain culture, Cam does. And he dresses this way because it's what his culture that he identifies with tells him to do. So I think if Cam Newton had the resources and was a professor or a teacher or whatever, he dressed the same way. It's just who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
I
don't think because he's an NFL player, you criticize him, you know, because of how he dressed. You can criticize him how he plays, mm-hmm. which is really the most important part of this whole thing, BT. Cam Newton has been bad the last, couple of outings. And to be honest with you, I heard people talking about this the other day, and I didn't think about it. I was like, oh, they're just making an excuse. I think his shoulder's jacked up. You can tell, like, he's always labored to throw the football, right? It's never been a fluid, you know, I got my hips set, my rotation of my body, my hips come through, my arm lags, and it just whips the ball out of my hand. He has this, like, I gotta lift myself up, and, you know, it's like a stiff, you know, very controlled throw. Mm-hmm. It's almost like his shoulder is impinged. You know what I mean? And he's got to force the ball out.
Yep.
And if there's pain there, you obviously can't complete a motion. You know this from being when your back was jacked up trying to play golf, right? Yep. You'd get halfway through and it'd be like, and you'd still try to complete the swing, but it wasn't going anywhere. You know what
Correct.
I mean?
Correct.
And so when I watch Cam Newton throw the football, that's what it feels. That's what it looks like to me. Huh. Now, I don't know if there's any truth to that or is any, you know, it just, I think he's hurt. And it's affecting how he's throwing the football. And at the beginning of the season, when it's fresh, he hasn't had any hits. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't run the ball, you know, 50 times this year and scored, you know, 5 touchdowns or whatever it is on the ground and pounded his way to the success. He's fine. But after, you know, a month and a half of that, your body just starts to break down a little bit. I think Cam's hurt, and I don't think his body can handle, you know, the rigors of what he's asked to do.
Jeez, already? Jeez.
BT, what did he miss a whole season for? You know what I mean?
No, but we thought he repaired
himself. I guess that was a foot, but still. It was,
but he looked good week one. He looked good early.
It's an atrocious game, man. You know,
did
it's
he
like,
get hit? And maybe he did. I mean,
but he got hit, gets hit every game. BT, he runs the football. He powers into the end zone. Yeah, he does. I mean, he's not taking like massive shots like a running back, but it's not like he's standing clean in pockets and not having any, you know, cleanliness around him. You couple that with the fact that they are bereft of talent.
No, they don't have much talent at all. They're not very good at all.
No, they're really slow. Not. They don't get open. They don't run good routes. They're just not good around him. So it compounds that issue even more. But, you know, my takeaway from watching him is something's off with him. And I think it might be a physical thing, like an injury thing.
See, I would almost prefer that because theoretically that could get fixed. It's funny. I hear the quote. I want to play it again because I want to point something out before we play it. And I hear you. It does him no real good to get into a war of words with Jeff Garcia at this point.
No.
I get it. Listen, the smart play is to defuse it and move on. You got more important things to do. You got to prove to Belichick, and we'll play from Bill after, who said that Cam is still the guy. But I almost what I take out of that is like a I don't want to say an acceptance. I know the Cam doesn't want to play poorly, obviously, but almost like a disconnect to I can't frame it the way I want to. Like, that's why I wanted to hear a little more combative Cam at that point, because it would have still underscored that he has great passion for the game. So with what, and I could be totally wrong, obviously, but as I say that, now listen to Cam again as he responded to Garcia, almost too accepting of the criticism. Go ahead, D-Cell, one more time.
I know I come off to so many different people so many different ways, and that's fine. And he you know what? He's exactly right. But I'm not changing the way I dress.
Okay, so that last little uptick is, you know, slightly combative. But why would you even say he's exactly right? Why would you agree with that moronic statement?
Because he doesn't want to get into a fight with him.
Yeah, but you could still say, hey, you know what? Listen, he played the game. That's fine. That's his opinion. You don't have to agree with him.
Well, it doesn't do him any good to get into a fight with Jeff Garcia.
Who's no, but you don't have critique. Obviously, you don't have to get into a fight.
Who's insignificant to him.
True.
He's insignificant to the New England Patriots. And I got to be...
But you can still disagree.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the Patriot way, man. They don't want...
He's been a Patriot for 3 months.
But
defend
it doesn't
yourself.
Matter. But it doesn't matter. They don't want you to be in the news, period. If you have to answer a criticism or whatever, answer it. But they don't want to be in the news. It's not... I don't have this, like, as fact... But you have all the evidence you ever need. It's just go look and listen to any interview from any significant player from the New England Patriots over the last 20 years. They say the same nonsense over and over and over again. They don't want to be in the news. And so got to give Cam Newton credit, actually, for not following his instinct, which is to say, Jeff Garcia, you don't know bleep about me. Shut your hole, and you know, go put on some tighter suits. instead, he took the high road, which is, you know, I give him credit for, man.
Okay. So we heard from Garcia, we heard from Cam, and now we hear from the guy who really matters in terms of who's playing. That's the head coach of the Pats, BB.
He's our best player there, and so. You know, again, there are other problems. Offensively, there are things that we need to do, you know, do better, and that's what we're going to work on. I think we have our best players out there. We've just got to find a way to be more productive.
You know, all summer I kept saying, this is the Bills division, Bills division, Bills division. Pat's going to be 7-9, 8-8, high water mark. They're not that good. They're a lot worse than I even thought. Having said that, the chances for them, and this would be so Patriots-like, would be to fall into that perfect wheelhouse of taking one of the other two quarterbacks, not Trevor Lawrence. I mean, this doesn't necessarily have to be it feels heavy because you look, and that's a good word, they are relatively bereft of talent. They've also had a couple of guys opt out of the COVID, so when they opt back in, that'll change a little bit, not significantly, and more on the defensive side. Their offense is just incredibly pedestrian. But I think that, you know, this is going to be a year that they might win a game that we didn't see them winning because they will be lasered and locked in. But anybody who thinks it's going to change anytime soon is missing the boat. They're a 5-win team if they're lucky.
Yeah, no, it's
well, they got to play the Jets twice. Let me take that back. So
and it's
you
not,
know what I mean.
And it's not just Cam. You know, obviously it is Cam, but it's not just Cam. This team is not playing good football at all, and it's the first time we've seen this in forever from a Bill Belichick coach team.
Yeah, it's ugly stuff, and I wonder, and I have kind of thrown this out there in the past. I still believe, I don't know that it'll be now, but I believe that, much like I said, there were a couple of more teams in Odell Beckham Jr.'s future. Remember when I said that?
Yep.
I think there's another team, I think there's another challenge in Bill Belichick's future. Whether it's collegiately, I don't know. I just don't see him finishing, you know, because he's a lifer. Bill's not going to just suddenly... You know, stop and go. I know he loves to fish. I know he likes to play golf. But, you know, he's the kind of person who needs to be challenged regularly. He's not going to suddenly start doing hot yoga or doing marathons or doing all these, you know, these crusades across the world. He's got to be in his football laboratory. And I wonder if it seems so hopeless – And it might, let's face it, if this continues to go in the direction we all think it might go, you know, if a divorce is a little quicker than even I thought, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but I can't see that.
Why?
I always think that.
Why?
Because I think the failure will only motivate him even more. And we kind of knew that this season was going to be a crapshoot. Like, it could potentially be good. It's most likely going to be bad, but it could potentially be good. Let me give it a shot. And that's why we're going to sign Cam Newton late, because he gives us the best option to win right now. He's obviously better than Brian Hoyer, Jared Stidham. We don't know enough about, but I don't know if he's going to be the answer. You know, let's just give it a shot with Cam. Otherwise, we're still going through the same process of how do we make ourselves better for the following year. And so I think Cam gave them a little bit of a lifeline, but Cam's not playing good football right now. And so it kind of puts them back to exactly where everyone thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season when Tom Brady left.
All right. I mean, it's they're tough to watch, man. You know, it's funny, at least even at their apex, which has seemingly been for 20 years, there was, you know, you took joy in, if you weren't rooting for them, rooting passionately against them. Now it's like the Pats are on, and I'm almost apathetic.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wish that.
Well, because you know they're not even winning.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wish their descent was a little slower so I can revel in it. It just bottomed out so quick that it's almost like, all right, well, they suck. There's never really nothing else to gravitate toward.
Yeah.
The emotion, the emotional meter, it bypassed like four levels that I was looking forward to going through. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
Oh, God. All right, T, coming up, let's get back to football here. Orlando Scandrick, former NFL defensive back. We'll get to that. The Cowboys and the Eagles scuffling. And this guy played on both teams, so we'll get a sense of what he's outspoken. We'll get a sense of what he sees from both sides in Dallas and Philly. Orlando Scandrick, he's up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, we are brought to you by Geico. Our number is 1-855-212-4CBS. Geico, Tiki and Tierney show. What's really scary here? It is getting a little scary. I notice people getting more and more into Halloween these days. It's getting a little much out there. Anyway, seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance, that's scary. Should have switched to Geico. You still should. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So great stuff with Tim Tebow earlier on the show. Make sure you go to radio.com and get that. And Tiki, we get a chance to go into a division that has all sorts of issues right now. Good God, they are a disaster. Washington's shown a little gumption, and the Giants are young, first-year coach Joe Judge, but the top two teams that are supposed to be good, they're not good. And we're joined now by Orlando Scandrick, cornerback, and today he's doing his stuff over on the Believe Network podcast, host of for the Cowboys side, and he played for the Cowboys, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. How are you today, buddy? What in the world is going on with one of your former teams? I mean, Jerry's having radio meltdowns. I mean, nobody's defending the quarterback when he gets almost decapitated. What a circus in Dallas, man. What's happening?
It's a circus is an understatement. I think avoiding leadership. They asked him if there was avoiding leadership when you walked in the locker room.
And he got mad.
I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to stomach what's going on over there. For an organization that's usually first class to go and to get a new coach, I was just doing some research about that now. When I don't know if they properly vetted everyone. They interviewed two candidates, Marvin Lewis and Mike McCarthy, which says they pretty much already have Mike McCarthy signed, so delivered. And then you have an interview with a guy and he spends a night at the owner's house and then gets a job in the morning. That was odd in itself. There's some really nice hotels in Dallas, Briscoe. Yeah. And then, you know, just to see what's happened, the team looks like they have no fight. They look like they're disorganized. I mean, they look like they just don't care. I mean, the talent is there, but at some point you have to say, you know, is the talent really there? I mean, on paper we thought it was there. I think they have some great pieces on offense. You know, they've had some pieces on defense, but did we all overvalue them based off of what they had done before? Is that what made us say they had talent? It's an odd situation in itself, and they're not playing well at all. They're not fighting. They're not competing. it's very, very hard to watch.
You know, Orlando, you know this better than anyone because you were there for the majority of your career, 9 years with the Dallas Cowboys. And so you know Jerry Jones's influence on what's going on. What's going on, what is he saying right now to this team?
That's Tiki's question, right?
Yep.
Tiki, I was there a long time, a decade, 10 years. 1 year I was injured. I got hurt in the preseason.
That's right.
I did 9 seasons there. I was there the whole time. I think that Jerry took advice from a lot, people that he trusts, people around the building, people that he's hired and put in that position. Jerry has a lot on his plate. He's running the team. He's constantly he's developing new real estate projects and things like that are around the team, that are around the brand. So when Jerry is the end all be all who signs off, on everybody, you still have other people in place that have given the job. I think they entrusted Mike McCarthy. I think, and Jerry has been criticized and the whole Jones family that they're so involved, they don't let the coaches pick the players. So then if you look, I think that they've let these coaches pick these players, especially on defense. I was there, and when I originally got there in 2008, we were a 3-4 team.
Mm-hmm.
We never had a nose tackle as big as Don Terry Poe. We've never had guys that can't move or, that are kind of bigger and are just run stuffers. We had Jay Ratliff, who was a Pro Bowl guy.
Yep.
Then I was also there when we switched from a 3-4 to a 4-3. And, they forced them to keep DeMarcus Ware. And then after a year, it was, he doesn't have it anymore. And then we all know what happened when he went to Denver, goes and wins the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The intangibles that he's brought, what he's done for Von Miller's career, that goes beyond what he was paid as an athlete to perform a job. So back to my point. So, you go and you bring in Mike Nolan. You bring in Don Terry Poe. It's been anything but short of a disappointment. Gerald McCoy, he's hurt on the first practice. Bring in Alden Smith, who was with Mike Nolan, and he's been great for them. I mean, I don't know what great opposed to that defense is, but he's been good. And then you go and sign Clinton Ha-Ha Dix, a guy that can't even make it out of training camp with a multi-million dollar 1 year contract guaranteed. And then, you have to ask yourself, you bring in Everson Griffin, whom they just traded earlier today.
Yeah,
for
I saw that.
Conditional pick to the Lions. You have to ask yourself, you entrusted in these coaches, and, were they the right guys? And, for Jerry, of course he's going to be snappy and say, that's his man, because as humans and as, powerful people, people that have egos, the hardest thing to do is say that you screwed it up. So I don't think that he's ready to say he screwed it up just yet.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, because, it's too early to say, man, I hired the wrong guy. But he is somebody who's stubborn, who believes in, his way, and he sticks to that, and he very rarely, divorces himself from his philosophy. It's his team. He doesn't want to look bad. But if this spirals into 4-12 and they give up 37 points a game, which they might, and they get blistered the rest of the way, can you see him saying, wow, you know what? All right, McCarthy, got to go. Can you see a one-and-done?
I don't see a one-and-done situation from McCarthy. I do see them spiraling into a 3-13, a 4-12 type of season. I don't see a one and done because of the whole, the quarterback was missing. They didn't have enough time to get the continuity and things like that. What I do see happening with a defense, being on the verge of being the worst defense in NFL history, I do see them making some changes on defense, personnel-wise, and coaching-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just they're going to have to figure it out. I mean, from here on out on defense, my philosophy would be this is an audition. I'm auditioning every day I come to work, every day I play. I'm auditioning for whoever's going to be my coach, for my coaches, and for all the other 31 teams around, because no one in that defense, and I'll repeat this, no one on that defense, outside of maybe because of what he's done in the past, DeMarcus Lawrence, Leighton Vander Esch, and to me, it pretty much stops there. No one on that defense is cemented and saying that they're a building block who you can build something around or who can be a part of something that you want to change culturally next year. I mean, they don't hustle. They don't perform simple assignments. They just simply look like they're all out there playing for themselves or playing by themselves, shall I say.
Not good. Talking to Orlando Scandrick, of course, a longtime Cowboy. Spent the minute with the with the Eagles as well, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. He's doing his thing on the Believe in Cowboys podcast network, and he is on the show right now.
You know, Orlando, I know exactly that what you're talking about, that audition. I remember Wellington Mara at our, in 2000, and I guess it was 2002, after Coach Fossil got fired, or three actually, he said, look to your left, look to your right, two of you guys aren't going to be here out of the three of the people you're looking at. So that's what's happening, it feels like, in Dallas.
Absolutely.
Right now. They're already moving
Absolutely.
Off assets, exactly. So it is an audition. Let me move you to your last team, the Philadelphia Eagles, because, yes, they've had a ton of injuries, but interesting, I think Carson Wentz has played better since those injuries have happened. But I wonder, as you look at the division, the Eagles are the team, because of what's happening with the quarterback situation in Dallas, they're the team that is most likely going to represent the NFC East in the playoffs. But
what I can say about the Philadelphia Eagles is, not to cut you off, is they compete.
Yes.
They believe, even when they're not what they believe, they still believe, and that's caused them to be in more games, to be competitive. But if you really want to look at it, they're 21-20-1 since they won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's everything short of average.
Yeah.
And I know everybody wants to crown them and wants to think that they're – but I look at the NFC East as a wide-open race, excluding the Cowboys, because I don't think they have what it takes to turn it around. But you just have to look, and you being a running back, you have to look – you have to say things. If you look at things and say things start in the trenches.
Yep.
What they've been able to do on defense, the way they were able to get after Carson Wentz week one, the way they've been able to get after these quarterbacks, the way they were able to get after Dalton and Ben Ndukie.
Yeah.
I can't even say his name.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to you, Ben. But the way they were able to get after these quarterbacks, they're going to give themselves a chance. They got a philosophy there. Kyle Allen is not. He's a capable guy. He doesn't turn it over. If they're able to get after quarterbacks, create turnovers, and run the ball, and the quarterback doesn't mess it up, they're going to give themselves a chance here. I don't, I would hate to write them off, And I think that with Ron Rivera and the culture that they're building over there, they're just saying, no one's giving us a chance. No one's giving us a chance. But quietly, they're a half a game out of first.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody technically has a chance in the NFC. So if there is one team, because it's all going to be about who gets better fastest, right? So of the three teams, not counting the Cowboys, because I think they're turning into toxicity right now. The three teams, not counting the Cowboys, which team gets better fastest and maybe makes the postseason?
I mean, I got the Redskins are my dark horse. I just don't think. I think the Giants are going to be sellers. I think that they're fully looking out to their future. I think I love their coach in there, Joe Judge, and I love Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator. I like Joe Judge a lot as a coach just because he's a special teams coach, and if you know anything or you spend a lot of time around the league, special teams coaches usually know how to put together rosters. They usually know how to maximize rosters so you can – everybody on your team. They're the coaches that can convince – a guy that's a starter to give him one phase of special team, a guy that's a rotational player to give him two phases of special teams, and just they keep things in perspective. And then just him coming from the culture of Bill Belichick, I know a lot of coaches haven't done well leaving Bill Belichick, but him coming from the culture and then him having on his staff Jason Garrett, who was a head coach for a decade and who played and won Super Bowls and played for Bill Parcells and has great relationships with guys like Nick Saban, I think that's what – bonded them, because of course we all know Belichick has a great relationship with Nick Saban, and I'm sure they run things by each other and they put philosophies and they bounce back off each other off of different philosophies. So I really like them for the future. But just this year, I look at it as a two-team race. I look at it between the Washington football team and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Interesting.
That is a little interesting.
It's hard to argue that, though.
I agree. Orlando, good having you on the show, buddy. Appreciate the insight. Thank you.
All right, thank you. You guys have a nice day. Stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you, Orlando.
And he's doing the Believe Network podcast, talking about his Cowboys, former cornerback, 9-10 years there in Dallas, and nice, honest assessment. We'll get the update here from Mac. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast. We know that the Jets are bad, but if it's even possible, can they get even worse than they are? That's on the menu. That's one of the items we'll hit. Tiki and Tierney rolls on. Axe update right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney, the blast coming up. First up, though, the time for the game plan for success brought to you by Napa. Taking a look at the Wake Forest Demon Deacons and their plan for success. Well, they took down number 19 Virginia Tech over the weekend, and they did it with an old-school mindset, an old-school approach, a lot of defense, a lot of running. Wake Forest allowed just one touchdown, and their junior running back Christian Beale Smith ran for a 129 on 13 carries, obviously a healthy average. The Deacons have now ripped off three straight dubs. Nice win. Good job. Whether you stop by a locally owned Napa Auto Parts, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, if you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. Napa. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. We can always finish up with a little World Series, but before we do that, it is time for The Blast. You ready to go, Teek?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, peace out. Before we get out of here, have that Jerry Jones stuff racked again from 2019. I want to get a couple chuckles before we get out of here. All right, so according to NFL.com and the power rankings, the top five teams right now in order, according to them, Kansas City 1, the Steelers number 2, the Bucks number 3, Ravens coming to the 4 spot, and the Packers slide into the old 5 spot. What would we change?
I might put the Ravens ahead of the Buccaneers. They had that one bad game against the Chiefs, but otherwise they've been dominant. Now they almost lost to the... All right, they almost allowed a comeback. What was that, the Titans?
Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah, right. But the Titans do that to everybody. So, I think this is about right, the way that the Buccaneers' defense is playing, along with Gronkowski rounding into a form after a month and a half. This Bucs team looks really good on both sides of the ball. Yeah, I think this is about right.
Yeah, I mean, there's two teams. You know, obviously, the way it went down Sunday night is not the day to necessarily bang the drum for the Seattle Seahawks. I know their defense is pretty porous, but yeah, they do have just one loss there. So I don't even know if I would put Seattle in the top five. Well, you know, I might put Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I love in the Packers. You know, here's the thing. The recency bias is a potent thing when it comes to this stuff. I know the Bucs are getting better, and it could be a one-off, but I would make a strong case if the Steelers are number two, and I'm cool with that, then I feel like the Titans, who almost won, should find a way to at least get a little respect on the back end of the five.
I don't disagree with that. I could argue that one as well, because they're never out of a game.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
That's a testament to a really good team.
I don't think we're missing anybody. You know, we'll keep an eye on the Niners. I mean, if they get really hot, keep an eye on the Rams.
Yeah.
Bills are not the same team they were the first month. No, that's probably pretty good. All right, so yesterday there was a report that surfaced that the Jets were shopping last year, 2019 third overall pick, Quinnen Williams.
Sellers.
Though the report was debunked by multiple sources. Rich Cimini from ESPN.com, Brian Costello from The Post. Basically, it was Manish from the Daily News who put this out, and every other person attached to the Jets refuted this strongly, so whatever, you know, but it, you know, it was out there. Would it be a smart move for the Jets to look to trade Quinnen Williams? The answer is absolutely not. First of all, you have to understand that, you know, when you're a defensive end and your job is to pin your ears back and get after the quarterback, which he's not, by the way, he plays on the interior of the line, it's a different level of transition, particularly when you don't have anybody on either side of you that gets to the quarterback. So,
yep.
And he's starting to play a lot better. Like, I was disappointed. You know, there's not a ton of splash plays to be made because the Jets rarely have teams at third and 13. But I like what I see from Quinnen Williams the past month or so. I'm not looking to trade him. And if I do, I wouldn't do it yet because you just drafted him third. You're probably not getting a first, so give it a chance to build the price tag back up. But I like Hugh Williams so far.
Yeah, no, I think he's been really good. And at some point, you got to just...
Yeah, I know.
You can't just keep trading away your offensive lineman, Leonard Williams. They did a couple years ago. Now, maybe that was probably worth it, but you got to have something to build on. You got to believe in something. And you look no farther than the Washington football team, who did the same thing. They started just drafting the interior, offense and defensive linemen, and now you look... They have a bevy of talent on that defensive line, making their defense so much more viable than it should be based on where their record is. So you got to start somewhere. You can't just, you know, quit at the, you know, first sign of adversity as a team and blame it on the kids.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like, though, about, like, the, you know, the from the Redskins, from Washington's point of view, is that when you draft, and the Niners have done this, and they had to get rid of a few guys. When you keep drafting guys prominently in the first round, eventually those guys are getting paid, and you can't pay five of them.
No, true, and especially when you've done it back to back,
correct,
to back to back.
That's what I'm saying. Yep, I'm with you, but I like Q Williams. He's starting to flash. Ohio State's Ryan Day apologized to Scotty Frost in Nebraska for scoring.
Oh, come on.
He did. He said, "I'm sorry, Scott, for beating you up." 52-17 blowout this weekend, but Frost didn't really seem too upset about it.
Ryan Day said after the game that he apologized for not taking a knee. Did he reach out to you, and did that even bother you?
Nah, I don't want to talk about that. We're focused on Wisconsin. I tell you what, if we want the score to be different, we need to play better. That's the bottom line.
It's the only answer you can give.
That's right.
The only answer you could give. So, what are our thoughts on Frost's first few years back in Lincoln?
Yeah, I mean, he's had issues with his health at quarterback. And, I mean, we thought it would be really easy for him because he's a legend in Nebraska to recruit all that great talent. But I think the world of recruiting has changed because now you can be from Nebraska or California and end up anywhere in the world, or the country, I should say. And so it's much harder to recruit in the Midwest than I think Scott Frost thought it was going to be. Not from the big boys, because they always going to have those, but for like skill position players, quarterbacks, those difference makers, you got to convince them to want to come out to the middle of Nebraska, which is easier said than done. I still have belief in Scott Frost, but I think the presumption that it was going to happen quickly was a fallacy from the very beginning.
I'm not sold. I did like the hire based on his body of work previously and based on his ties to the school. But I'm not saying that we're going to grease the skids here, suddenly, year one was not good, year two, okay. Once you start getting into year three, now it's like, well, which direction are we going here? And the problem with Nebraska is that there's really no in-state talent outside of the big guys who are going to protect the quarterback.
That's right.
The big dudes. So,
I mean, they're still with Adrian Martinez. I mean, I feel like he's been there for 15 years. But it feels like he's been there for a really long time.
It does. He's like Jeff Lebo, who played point guard for North Carolina for 13 years, seemingly.
That's right.
This kid, no, he's not leaving this guy. I hear you. Listen, I'm really rooting for him, and I'm rooting for Nebraska.
Me too.
Even though I don't love them in the Big Ten. I Nebraska is, when they're good, and it's been a while, I mean really good, the sport is obviously a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, to say that Frost has been anything more than a C-minus is inaccurate. It's just not true. All right.
And the last thing he cared about was getting a touchdown scored on him at the end of the game.
He's got bigger worries.
That he was blown out in it already.
Correct. The score was 52-17 and, 45 before that. He was still getting waxed.
Yeah.
ESPN's abandoning its plan to host 8 men's college basketball events in an Orlando, Florida bubble. This was supposed to happen in November and December. They've cited COVID-19 testing challenges, not the virus itself, but testing challenges. They can't come to a uniform agreement. Is this a bad sign for this year's college basketball season? Listen, I don't know, and it's funny. I was, I'm looking at Rothstein's tweets, and I love his enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
But I tweeted something earlier, and I'll read it for you. I'm obviously hoping, it was 4 hours ago, obviously hoping for the best, but how is there going to be a college basketball season? The Big Ten alone has a 21-day mandatory quarantine. Just seems implausible to think this gets pieced together. No bubble, no chance. Atik, you're playing multiple games a week if you're a college basketball program, not one like in college football.
Yep.
I don't know how the heck you do this. The virus, it is raging based on the numbers. 50,000 new tests, 70,000, that's kind of where we are now. The flu season hasn't even really spiked yet at its apex, which is probably around the corner. It's going to get worse. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. I think it's going to be a huge challenge.
Yeah, I think it is a bad sign is probably too heavy right now. Just the cancellation of this ESPN tournament that's down in Orlando.
And I'm not even reacting to that. I'm just reacting to the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm
21-day quarantine for the Big Ten.
I'm talking specifically to this question, though, BT. ESPN knows exactly how to do it right because they just hosted the NBA bubble, as we all know, and the WNBA bubble. So there's just a lot of schools that don't have the resources to do what ESPN is asking them to do, so they can't. So it's more of a resource issue than a COVID issue, if that makes any sense.
It does. Plus, the kids do have to do some schoolwork. I know you can do it
exactly.
You know, off-site. I hear you, but you can't just – I mean, I guess you can, but do you really want to put kids in a bubble for 2 months?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Amari Stoudemire's joined Steve Nash's coaching staff. What a turncoat. Used to be a Knick. Now he's going to the Nets.
I love this.
He is going to be on Nash's staff in Brooklyn. How much faith do we have that Stoudemire is going to positively impact the Nets roster?
A lot, because he's cerebral and he's very he's one of the great draft picks in Phoenix Suns history.
Mm-hmm. I think he was eighth overall back
in
the day.
And you know, when they finally got Steve Nash, they got so close. I forget who they couldn't get through. It's slipping my mind now, but he was really good until the knee started barking with him. But even now, he's still playing in Israel. He won a couple championships over there. I think he'll be able to get in. He'll begin to be on the court and compete with these guys.
That's true.
And that helps a young team. Now there's also the stars there, and I think he helps manage that emotional, maybe, you know, disconnect, if there is any, with, mm-hmm. with the front office. I think this is a great hire for the Brooklyn, the Nets.
I'm a huge Amari Stoudemire fan.
Huge. Me too.
I really am.
Andy sends us wine. He sent me wine. So
did he really?
I'm going to have to send you some of it. It's actually pretty good, too.
Yeah, I'll take secondhand wine. I'm not going to say no, especially from somebody I like.
Exactly.
Cerebral is a great word. He's a worldly person.
Mm-hmm.
He's a thoughtful person.
He's an Israeli citizen now.
I know he is. I remember I had a chance to catch up with him doing the Big Three. He was playing
there. That's right. I forgot about that.
Just very, very smart and very adaptable. I think Amari makes any organization, not just sports, I think he makes anything better.
Yeah.
He's got a positive energy and a great skill set. He's a good people person. I'm a big fan. So he's going to win a championship because of Amari Stoudemire.
No.
Will he make the room better? 100%.
Yeah, if they draft that kid, which they might.
Oh, Wiseman?
No, the kid from Israel.
Oh, you're talking about...
He speaks Hebrew.
Yeah, but he's not. He's going to be gone.
I'm just saying.
Draft him. He's going top five, that kid. It's unbelievable. The Knicks aren't even going to get him at number eight.
Good point.
God, that's all I need for that next superstar to go to the Nets. Teak. Give it to Dodgers tonight.
I got the Dodgers, too. I think Gonsolin, even though I'm not a huge fan of him in the postseason, is going to do really well.
Listen, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Everybody have a great Tuesday night. Safe, sensible, sane. Enjoy the baseball. We'll catch you tomorrow. Peace!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.